Words from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light to all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. And we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Whether it's the advent of heaven coming to earth in the form of the Christmas story, God becoming man, or whether it's mankind venturing up into the heavens from earth in the form of man's space flight. You may be unaware, but we just celebrated the 50th anniversary on the 21st of December of that actual recording. It was Apollo 8. In lunar orbit from the 21st to the 27th of December, the first human beings ever to see an Earth rise. Amazing. Story is life, and life is story. And story ought to be more than just an offer of escapism. Story ought to kindle our imaginations, fuel our hopes, fire up motivation. I don't know who said this, but it stuck with me and I heard it years ago. What is heaven for if we cannot reach beyond ourselves? And many things amaze us about this particular story of man's space flight. But maybe, and I'm talking maybe on my own behalf here, one single fact about any man's space flight, up until the shuttle maybe, was this: that since the first mobile phones, not the smartphones that you have now, but since the first mobile phones, we have had more power in our pocket than what put man on the moon. What ingenuity! What innovation! The technology that got us into space. Though remembering Apollo 13 might make us consider that there was other powers, other considerations to make. Apollo 13, for your benefit, was the almost fated mission to the moon that never was, because something went seriously wrong, and the whole mission was that to get these men back, and thankfully they did safely. But that other thing to consider was this: God allows us to do these things. He enables us to do these things. Yes, we've discovered and developed such things as the laws of physics, of flight. Yes, even of finance. It takes a lot of money to go to the moon and back. But ultimately, it's by God's grace that we have achieved such adventures. And for all it takes for us to catch even just a glimpse of this wonder, this amazing God's grace, is for us to do what we're told. Stop. Be still. And slowly but surely, we can begin to recognize in abundance. Yes, I know, I hear it too. My own complaints, my own moans, my own unhappiness coming back to me when I hear these words. Stop, wait, and you'll begin to see the abundance of God's grace in your life. your life story, the abundance of God's undeserving love working in your life. Like those times that we've been caught in awe at a moonlit sky. Or we've been on a long walk, maybe in the wilds, and we stop long enough for nature to start to move around us again. Magical. Or the kindness of a complete stranger. Or the serendipitous change in circumstances that we think we can't put our finger on it. It's almost as if God is putting his finger on us. Right there, we're witnessing God's amazing grace. So as we contemplate entering the unknown of a new year of 2019, what will this year hold, we wonder? And as we contemplate entering this year over the next few hours, day or two, and leave behind us, to some extent, things we would like to take with us, people we would like to take with us who are here no longer. The last year's familiar, with all its aches and pains, with all its gains and losses, with all its disappointments and victories, it's familiar. We know it. We've lived it. 2019 is unfamiliar. A little more threatening, maybe, in that sense. Well, for a few moments this morning, allow me to dare to try to refurnish your imagination, to refuel your hope, to stir again fresh motivation with regard to living by this power. It's a bit like gravity. It's all around us and we can't see it. God's amazing grace. We celebrate through story. We also commemorate through story. I say this in the light of yet another tsunami. Yeah? We've seen it all over again. Where well over 250 lives have now been reported to have been suddenly swept away, and in the same region as was struck by that unprecedented wave of terror during the Christmas of 2004, do you remember? Where similar tectonic circumstances led to no less than 250,000 lives. We forget, don't we? Where 250,000 lives were lost. Yet, in amidst that tragic story, there lay hope. Hope of salvation. Evidence of God's grace in the form, you've got it, of an ancient story. For during that global disaster, which it nearly was, that affected almost the entire coastline of the vast Indian Ocean, including East Africa, Madagascar, Yemen, Oman, there was one island, or maybe I should say a set of islands, just off the east coast of India, that despite being situated right in the path of that monster wave, survived the whole thing. No one was lost from those islands. And it was struck with the full force of the tsunami wave, Christmas 2004. All because of a story. An ancient story. You see, the tribes people of the Andaman Islands, situated just north of the epicenter of the 2004 undersea earthquake near Sumatra, have a story. They have a story embedded in their culture, told and carried down through the generations, that warns of a time, get this, when the sea will fight over the boundaries with the land. Yeah. The winds will quickly rise, say the story. The trees will sway as if to remind the ocean this far and no further. But the sea will persist, strangely retreating, and then with the power of 1,000 horses charge toward the land to break new boundaries and flood the shores. This ancient story acts as a warning. A warning to the tribes on the Andaman Islands. When you witness these events, head for the hills. Head for higher ground. When you see the wind getting up strangely and some battle between the land and the sea retreats before it charges, head for the hills. Their ancient story tells them. So this is exactly what the people of the Andaman Islands did that fateful December the 24th, 2004. And none were lost. All survived, with hundreds and thousands of others in other countries and other shores being swept away. The tribes, people of the Andaman Islands were saved, all because they believed in an ancient story that was filled with grace. And I think we have to say God's grace. They placed their hope in a story. A hope strong enough that motivated them to act upon it. And what did they find? They found salvation. Technology, I say, was the urgent cry of those nations that experienced that devastating loss back in 2004. A cry that is heard anew these past few weeks. Technology! In the form of tsunami early warning systems. That the people might be saved from any future disaster. What is it about technology that we convince ourselves it holds the key to safety, if not salvation? Whether it be a very real early warning system all wired in along the earth and along the shore, or an imagined new home somewhere in outer space. We're working on it, you know. But we know, don't we? We've learned. We've stopped long enough in life to catch a glimpse of that grace. We've stopped often enough in life to have been affected by that undeserving love from an ancient story. His story. A story that truly offers us what we need. Hope. Motivation. Assurance. All we need do is imagine, dare to believe it to be true. Reaching beyond ourselves. I don't know who it was who said, we never tap into the powers and graces of God until we tap into the impossible. Until we deal with the impossible, we're never touching on God's resources. And yet this ancient story offers us not just the opportunity, but the very motivation to reach beyond ourselves. That we might recognize God's amazing grace in the cry of a baby. And the world says, what? That's just plain stupid, yeah?
We have to start agreeing with them.
Yeah! Absolutely. But it's true. We began this 2018 period of Advent 4 weeks ago, was it? At the beginning of Advent. With this challenge. Expect the unexpected. Maybe we ought to take that with us as we go into 2019. It's scary, I hear you say. Yeah, I know. I feel the same. You're not in control, I hear you say. Yeah, yeah, I feel that too, yeah. But what if we gave space? What if we invited God and His Spirit and His Son to begin to do the unexpected among us? That might catch us out, yeah. We might have make a lot of mistakes, mm-hmm. We might learn a lot, yeah. What if we take that with us? Expect the unexpected. And not just leave it to serendipity. It's a new word I've learned, so I thought I'd use it a few times. Serendipity, chance. Why? Why? That our hopes might be realized. That our motivation might be renewed. That our capacity for God might be enlarged. Whoa! He says, like a 10-year-old, what was the poem last week? The poem last week said something about, let's get back to that childhood days. That we might yet reach beyond ourselves in a way that sees God move in this place. No, not this place. Our lives is the place. We are the evangelical events. I thought I might have got an amen there, Stuart, but no. It's that scary, is it? That we might reach beyond ourselves in a way that sees God move in gestures of grace that we could never have imagined. Now, you know as well as I do, that's almost scripture. Because Ephesians tells us, gives us that challenge to trust in God for what we cannot even think or imagine. Expect the unexpected.